Well, under the government's climate action plan, agriculture in Ireland must reduce nitrogen use by 25% within the next 7 years. That's on 2018 levels. It's a target of no more than 300,000 tonnes of chemical fertiliser by 2030. These are huge challenges in a very, very short period of time. I'm delighted to say that with me this morning in studio is Dr. Carl Richards, Acting Head of Climate Change in Teagasc. Carl, good morning and thank you for coming. I gather you should be up running mountains this morning.
It's all right. This is far more important.
Far more important indeed. We heard there what a dairy farmer in Cork is doing, Carl. I wanted to ask you about what Teagasc is doing, given it's Teagasc's scientific advice that so many farmers have followed down the years, particularly on this very crucial question of how much fertiliser to use to grow grass. Now, I was reading some of the research that you're doing at the moment. I know in Johnstown, where you're based, you're looking at how to pull chemical nitrogen away. And I know in Solihull Research Station in Tipperary, they have found that they can drop chemical nitrogen altogether, replace it with clover without losing any profitability. So these are really positive signs. Is that going to be your clear advice going forward?
That is the clear advice. If you look at the marginal abatement cost curve from 2018, which is, I suppose, the agricultural plan to meet the reduction targets for 2030 for greenhouse gases, clover is a huge part of it. Reducing nitrogen fertilizer is a huge part of it. And better improving soil fertility is another huge part of it. So a lot of it is around getting at that nitrogen, because it is directly linked with our greenhouse gases and, as Donal said, with water quality and water quality impacts as well. So there's a range of research system experiments across Teagasc. You mentioned a couple there, going from zero nitrogen to 70. Within Moorpark as well, there's 100 kilograms, there's 75 kilograms versus the recommended rate, which is 250. So really pushing down to those lower amounts. But as Donal outlined there, there are challenges. And one of the key challenges are how to make up the deficit in nitrogen in springtime. And that's a time when farmers want to get their animals out onto the land to graze. And it's a time where fertilizer can be really important to start grass growth before clover kicks in. So clover normally starts to really produce a lot of nitrogen from May onwards in the year.
And just to explain to people, clover fixes nitrogen naturally. Yeah. So you don't need to spread chemical nitrogen. It fixes nitrogen naturally and helps the grass grow.
Correct. Yeah. So your listeners will know on their lawns when they go out and look, you see these little white flowers of clover, and usually around those you see increased grass growth. So it's a natural process where the clover fixes nitrogen from the air for free.
And it slashes emissions because of
that. And it reduces emissions, it increases carbon sequestration, and when those clovers flower, it increases pollinator activity as well. But clover tends to, the peak clover growth is in July and August. And peak growth of clover is associated with peak nitrogen fixation. So you get this peak of nitrogen fixation in that July and August period. Grass growth tends to peak in May. So there's a dichotomy there of when the nitrogen is available versus when the grass requires it. And I suppose the research that we're doing is looking at how can we make up that gap in the early springtime. And that's where manure and slurry really becomes important on farms.
I mean, it can be a bit confusing, I think, for people. I mean, Teagasc's advice to farmers until relatively recently was focused on spreading significant amounts of chemical nitrogen. You mentioned 250 there. Farmers followed this advice. Do you think now, looking back, it was a mistake?
Well, I suppose if you look at it back 10, 20 years ago, nitrogen fertilizer was very cheap. There was a lot of uncertainty associated with clover and its management. And that's why we've been doing a lot of research over that time period to provide farmers with the advice and the knowledge and the confidence that if they switch to lower nitrogen input systems, that they would have the growth that they require to feed their animals. One example.
I mean, I'll just interrupt you there. On, yeah. Sorry, Carl. It was cheap, but it also was the case that scientists knew it was problematic for water pollution, and it was problematic, to put it mildly, regarding emissions. So, you know, were farmers given the correct advice?
So if you look at the amount of nitrogen grass requires to grow, typically our grass growing about 14 tonnes of dry matter per year uptakes about 450 kilograms of nitrogen. We were recommending 250. And so that's nearly 50% lower than what the grass can uptake. The rest then has to come from soil, manure and other sources. So, you know, the advice has been to apply chemical nitrogen, and not all farmers follow our advice. So the current use of nitrogen fertilizer on dairy farms is about 170 kilograms per hectare. So nobody, you know, very few people are up at that very upper end of it. But advice changes, science changes, we learn new things, and that's what we're now implementing, is that those lower, more sustainable farming systems, as everybody in society has to focus on reducing our footprint, reducing the effect that we all have on the environment, both water, biodiversity and greenhouse gases.
The backbone to Donal's ability to pull away from chemical nitrogen is, as you mentioned before, the issue of clover, sowing clover. Chagas brought out a booklet recently saying that clover doesn't begin to fix nitrogen until 12 to 16 months. Is that correct?
So, like, I'm not a clover scientist, but what I do know in relation to clover is that your nitrogen fertilizer requirement depends on how much clover you have in your sward, not particularly when you've sown it. So the more clover you have in the sward, the less nitrogen you need to apply. So the converse goes then, the less clover you have, the more nitrogen you need to apply.
Sure, but is it 12 to 16 months? Is that correct?
From what I understand, it is lower than that. But as I said, I'm not a clover researcher. I haven't done any experiments on that. Research from Solihull would indicate that it's, you know, 1 to 2 months later, you start to get this nodulation in within the clover plants itself. But once you have achieved a successful establishment of clover, the assumption, and again, there's a lot of research here, it's looking at, well, what is the fertilizer requirement then for those different levels of clover to provide farmers with advice? If they've got 10% clover in the sward, what do they do? If they've 50% clover, if they've red clover, which is usually 100%, it fixes about 400 kilograms of nitrogen. So the advice has to be tailored for the specific farm and the specific growing conditions and the specific composition of the grass and the swards that they have.
And there are big savings to be made here, aren't there? I mean, the average dairy and tillage farmer spends about 15,000 a year on fertilizer.
So fertilizer is one of the biggest costs on the farm, and nitrogen fertilizer is only one of those fertilizer forms. There is also phosphorus and potassium that are also required to sustain plant growth.
And do you think, as Donal was suggesting, that maybe we also need the processors to come in here and incentivize farmers that decide to either entirely stop putting chemical nitrogen fertilizer on their land or significantly reduce it?
Look, I certainly think farmers react to payments at the moment. They're paid to produce food. They get, as Donal said, it's per kilo of milk solids that he's getting paid, not even per litre of milk that he produces. So industry, whole of industry and government need to take responsibility, and they are. So there are certain co-ops on the dairy side that are introducing sustainability bonuses where they pay farmers a little bit extra for the milk that they produce. But also the government are significantly investing in this area in terms of grant aiding the establishment of red clover swards, multi-species swards, grant aiding things like low emission slurry spreading, these sorts of things which enable us to move to a low nitrogen fertilizer future for our farms. And as I said, you know, the challenge here is to try to absolutely minimize the amount of nitrogen that we're putting into the systems, to apply it at the right time, the right rate, the right place that the crop actually requires that nutrient.
Is there a danger here that farmers, understandably, will follow your advice, they'll sow clover as a kind of, in some ways, as a feel-good factor, but won't cut back on nitrogen? And then it won't work, will it? Because nitrogen, I mean, ryegrass will bully the clover out, basically.
Correct. If you don't reduce your nitrogen fertilizer, the clover gets lazy and it won't fix any nitrogen. So the advice and the demonstrations that we're doing, again, there are clover demonstration farm networks across the country, are showing farmers, when you have established your clover, this is the management practices that you should carry out to maintain the clover and maximise its benefit. And those benefits, you're absolutely right. When we look at our greenhouse gas marginal abatement cost curve, one of the big benefits of clover is reducing kilograms of nitrogen fertiliser. If we don't do that, we don't achieve the greenhouse gas reductions.
How do you measure the use of nitrogen fertiliser on every farm?
So there's a number of ways. Within Chagas, we have the National Farm Survey, which is a survey of about 1,000 farms across the country, statistically and all of that. The government at the moment are introducing a fertiliser register. So this will control the amount of fertiliser that every single farmer will be able to buy. So there'll be specific limits. They cannot buy any more than that limit. So that is being introduced at the moment. You probably heard of it. But that is one way to ensure that, you know, there is regulatory control on the sale of fertiliser. There are national statistics then taken on fertiliser sales, which are reported by the industry to the Department of Agriculture, and those would indicate, like last year alone, we saw a reduction from that 400,000 tonnes to 343,000 tonnes. So within one given year, there's been a dramatic 14% reduction in nitrogen fertiliser. So well on the way to achieving the target. Now, can we sustain that?
And just finally, briefly, are you confident now that the advice Chagas is giving farmers about this will lead to a reduction and the reduction needed by 2030? That you have it right?
I am confident that we have. So we have a number of advisory programs in place to support farmers on this journey. We have the Signpost Farms program. We have the Signpost Advisory program. The advisory program is providing free advice to all farmers and not just Chagas clients. And through the Grass 10 program, the advice has also been rolled out, and through the Demonstration Farm Network. So this is an all of industry approach. If we don't achieve these fertiliser reductions, then, you know, there are going to have to be other decisions made on how we're going to meet our targets.
OK, Dr. Carl Richards, Acting Head of Climate Change in Chagas, thank you very much for coming in. I hope you get a mountain run in this morning at some stage. Thanks for your time.
Next half hour. Thank you.